Thank you, Mark. I also would like to welcome you all in the name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. When I called him this morning, I usually aren't this organised, and I had someone already set up to be in charge, and then at the last minute they called me up and said they couldn't do it. So I called Mark, and he said he would. Anyway, I'd like to start this morning in the Book of Mormon, and it's page 224. And I'm just going to read two verses, the 8th and the 9th verse of chapter 3 of the Book of Mosiah. "And now because of the covenant which ye have made, ye shall be called the children of Christ, his sons and his daughters. For behold, this day he hath spiritually begotten you. For ye say that your hearts are changed through faith on his name. Therefore ye are born of him, and have become his sons and his daughters." And this was King Benjamin that was, and he was talking to the people before he passed on from this life. And so the change that takes place in us, and he was talking about that change, was the change that happened to you, was it when you were a child or was it when you were an adult? What happened to you to have that change in your heart? There is usually something that happens in your life that does that. And it was for me, it wasn't as a child that change happened to me. It was something significant that happened in my life. And it wasn't in the good times of our lives. I found in my own life that the struggles are the things that change who I am. My focus, and it has a lot to do with my frame of mind and my understanding of who God is. I want you to go back a couple pages, and I want you to go back to page 220. And I want to start in the 13th verse, and you guys have all heard this. And this is chapter 2 of Mosiah, 13th verse. First thing, believe in God. When did that happen to you? Did you believe that there is a God? And I would say if most of you are here, I'd say that the answer is yes. So I want to go to the second. Believe that he is and that he created all things, both in heaven and earth. What an enormous amount of power this being that we call God has. That everything is under his control. Let's go down. Believe that he has all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and earth. Nothing is done without his knowledge. And for his reasoning, believe that man doth not comprehend all things which the Lord comprehended. So, his understanding of everything, how it affects us directly or indirectly, he knows that. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them and humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. Okay, So what is repentance? It's a change of heart towards God. Anyone can have a change of heart. But when you put towards God, it narrows things down quite a bit. And again I say unto you, as I have said before, that ye must have come to the knowledge of the glory of God. Or if ye have known of his goodness and have tasted of his love, ye have received a remission of your sins, which causes such exceeding great joy in your souls. I missed one, didn't I? 17th verse. And now if you believe all these things, see that you do them. See that you do them. And so it gives us an understanding of how we are supposed to be. First, that belief in God, and then all these other things of how we repent and how we change our lives. And so this change that comes upon us, it changes the very beings that we are. Even so, I would that ye should remember and always retain in remembrance the greatness of God and your own nothingness and his goodness and long-suffering towards you unworthy creatures. Now that one fits me. And humble yourselves even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily and standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of the angel. And behold, I say unto you that if ye do this, ye shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God and always retain a remission of your sins. So has that change come about in you? That you have that kind of knowledge of God, or are the events of this life just random? So what change did you go through to get here? Like I said, I went through many changes to get here. Did I thank God? No, I did not. Because I didn't understand. I didn't understand the commitment and the change that has to take place in our lives. And not at that time. I didn't understand the principles as I understand them today. That he is in charge of everything. Now, if I know that, there is no guesswork. There is a reason why something happens in my life, because he's trying to tell me something. A little slow learner sometimes. So let's take a crisis in your life. To get to understand that, are you the humble followers of Christ? And it says that in 2 Nephi, 12th chapter, 16th verse. The humble followers of Christ. You know that God can fix any crisis in our lives at any time. If you know this, what is it that you fear? If you know this, what is it that you fear? I want you to go to Romans, the 8th chapter. I'm going to read four verses, and I'm going to start in the 35th verse. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril of swords. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul understood it perfectly well. If you understand this principle, nothing should bother you. So has that change happened in your life? That you have no fear of anything, even death? Let's go to Hebrews, the second chapter. And I'm going to start in the 14th verse here. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself, and this is talking about our Lord, likewise took part of the same, and through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. It's an interesting scripture, isn't it? That he came to destroy that kind of bondage. And it's a real fear that we have. And so how do we get out of that bondage? And it comes back to who's in charge. Of everything. This change that we make is on purpose and is important to every soul to make us fearless. And so it comes back to, unless you don't believe that he's God, that he has that kind of power. And so you have to go back to those that we talked about in the beginning, that he is God. He can fix anything. Let's go, that same book, but I'm going to take one scripture here. Because if you believe that he is God, then this scripture here, you might want to worry about. And this is the third chapter, and it's the 12th verse here. And it says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, if you know that he is God, and that he has these commandments, and he wants us to live a certain way, you best be doing it. He lives within us. He allows us to change, to focus on different things, and makes that change possible. Once this change starts happening in your life, because of those trials and that understanding of who God is, our focus should become very targeted. I want you to go to Alma, the 12th chapter. And this was someone that persecuted the church before. And I'm going to start in the 82nd verse. And this is about Ammon. And you know, I love the story, and the reason is because he made a difference in someone's life. And it came to pass that when Ammon had made ready the horses and the chariots for the king and his servants, he went in unto the king, and he saw that the countenance of the king was changed. Therefore he was about to return out of his presence, and one of the king's servants said unto him, Rabbana, which is being interpreted powerful or great king, considering their kings to be powerful. And thus he said unto him, Rabbana, the king desireth thee to stay. Therefore Ammon turned himself unto the king and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do for thee, O king? And the king answered him, Not for the space of an hour according to their time, for he knew not what he should say unto him. And it came to pass that Ammon said unto him again, What desirest thou of me? But the king answered him not. And it came to pass that Ammon, being filled with the Spirit of God, therefore, he perceived the thoughts of the king. And he said unto him, It is because thou hast heard that I defended thy servants and thy flocks, and slew 7 of their brethren with the sling and with the sword, and smote off the arms of others, in order to defend thy flocks and thy servants. Behold, it is this that causes thy marvelings. I say unto you, that it is that thy marvelings are so great. Behold, I am a man, and am thy servant. Therefore, whatsoever thou desirest, which is right, that will I do. Now when the king had heard these words, he marveled again, for he beheld that Ammon could discern his thoughts. But notwithstanding, this king, Lamoni, did open his mouth and said unto him, Who art thou? Art thou that great spirit who knows all things? Ammon answered and said unto him, I am not. And the king said, How knowest thou the thoughts of my heart? Thou mayest speak boldly and tell me concerning these things, and also tell me by what power ye slew and smote off the arms of my brethren that scattered my flocks. And now, if thou wilt tell me concerning these things whatsoever thou desirest, I will give unto thee. And if it were needed, I would guard thee with my armies. But I know that thou art more powerful than all they. Nevertheless, whatsoever thou desirest of me, I will grant it unto thee. Now Ammon, being wise, yet harmless, he said unto Lamoni, Wilt thou hearken unto my words if I tell thee by what power I do these things? And this is the thing that I desire of thee. And the king answered him and said, Yea, I will believe all thy words. And thus he was caught with guile. And Ammon began to speak unto him with boldness, and said unto him, Believest thou that there is a God? And he answered and said unto him, I do not know what thou meanest. And then Ammon said, Believest that there is a great spirit? And he said, Yea. And Ammon said, This is God. And Ammon said unto him, Believest that thou, this great spirit who is God, created all things which are in heaven and in earth? Now I'm going to stop right there, because he's saying the same thing that we read earlier on. Believest that there is a God. You've got to start there. You have to start there. If you start anywhere else, you're wasting your time. You have to have that understanding of who God is. Let's see. And he said, yea, I believe that he created all things which are in the earth, but I do not know the heavens. And so, if you don't know these things, if you're talking to someone that has never been exposed to God, how do you explain these things? You have to put it in their understanding. And Ammon said unto him, the heaven is a place where God dwells, and all the holy angels. And King Lamoni said, is it above the earth? And Ammon said, yea. And he looketh down upon all the children of men, and he knows all the thoughts and intents of the hearts. For by his hand were they all created from the beginning. And King Lamoni said, believe all these things which thou hast spoken, are thou seen, sent from God? And Ammon said unto him, I am a man, and man in the beginning was created after the image of God, and I am called by his Holy Spirit to teach these things unto this people, that they may be brought to a knowledge of that which is just and true. And a portion of that Spirit dwelleth in me, which giveth me knowledge and also power according to my faith and desires which are in God. A great change in his life. And now he's trying to convey that to someone else, that they might have that great change in their lives. Have you had this change in your life? To change that very nature of the beast. Do you want that kind of change? That nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Let's go back to the 114th. Now when Ammon had said these words, he began at the creation of the world and also the creation of Adam, and told him all things concerning the fall of man. Isn't it funny that he started at the beginning? Most people start somewhere in the middle. And rehearsed and laid before him the records and the holy scriptures of the people which had been spoken by the prophets, even down to the time that their father Lehi left Jerusalem. And he also rehearsed unto them, for it was unto the king and to his servants all the journeyings of their fathers in the wilderness, and all their sufferings with hunger and thirst, and their travels, etc. And he also rehearsed unto them concerning the rebellion of Laman and Lemuel and the sons of Ishmael. Yea, all their rebellions did he relate unto them. And he expounded unto them all the records and scriptures from the time that Lehi left Jerusalem down to the present time. But this is not all, for he expounded unto him the plan of redemption which was prepared from the foundation of the world. And he also made known unto him concerning the coming of Christ, and all the works of the Lord did he make known unto him. And it came to pass that after he had said all these things and expounded them to the king, that the king believed all his words. And he began to cry unto the Lord, saying, O Lord, have mercy according to thy abundance mercy, which thou hast had upon the people of Nephi. Have it upon me and upon and my people. And now when he had said these, he fell down unto the earth as if he were dead. And it came to pass that his servants took him and carried him in unto his wife, and laid him upon a bed, and he lay as if he were dead for the space of 2 days and 2 nights. And his wife and his sons and his daughters mourned over him after the manner of the Lamanites, greatly lamenting his loss. And it came to pass that after 2 days and two nights, they were about to take his body and lay it in a sepulcher, which they had made for the purpose of burying their dead. Now the queen, having heard of the fame of Ammon, therefore she went and desired that he should come in unto her. And it came to pass that Ammon did as he was commanded, and went in unto the queen, and desired to know what she would that he should do. And she said unto him, the servants of my husband have made it known unto me that thou art a prophet of a holy God, and that thou hast power to do many mighty works in his name. Therefore, if this is the case, I would that ye should go in and see my husband, for he has been laid upon his bed for the space of 2 days and two nights. And some say that he is not dead, but others say that he is dead, and that he stinketh, and that he ought to be placed in a sepulchre. But as for myself, to me he doth not stink. And this was what Ammon desired, for he knew that the king Lamanhi was under the power of God. He knew that the dark veil of unbelief being cast away from his mind, and the light which did light up his mind, which was the light of the glory of God, which was a marvelous light of his goodness. Yea, this light had infused such joy into his soul, the cloud of darkness being dispelled, and that light of the everlasting light was lit up in his soul. Yea, he knew that this had overcome his natural frame, and he was carried away in God. Therefore, that the queen desired of him was his only desire. Therefore he went in to see the king according as the queen had desired him, and he saw the king, and he knew that he was not dead. And he said unto the queen, he is not dead, but he sleepeth in God. And on the morrow he shall rise again, therefore bury him not. And Ammon said unto her, believest thou this? And she said unto him, I have no witness, save thy word and the word of our servant. Nevertheless, I believe that it shall be according as thou hast said. And Ammon said unto her, blessed art thou because of thy exceeding faith. I say unto thee, woman, there has not such great faith among all the people of Nephi. This is a long read, and the reason why I'm reading this is because I want you to understand that this change that should happen to us was happening to this man. And it should happen to us. And it came to pass that she watched over the bed of her husband from that time, even until that time on the morrow, which Ammon had appointed that he should rise. And it came to pass that he arose according to the words of Ammon. And as he arose, he stretched forth his hand unto the woman and said, blessed be the name of God, and blessed art thou. For as sure as thou livest, behold, I have seen my Redeemer, and he shall come forth and be born of a woman, and he shall redeem all mankind who believe on his name. Now when he had said these words, his heart was swollen within him, and he sank again with joy. And the queen also sank down, being overpowered by the Spirit. Now Ammon, seeing the Spirit of the Lord poured out according to the prayers upon the Lamanites, his brothers, who had been the cause of so much mourning among the Nephites, or among all the people of God, because of their iniquities and their traditions, he fell upon his knees and began to pour out his soul in prayer and thanksgiving to God for what he had done for his brethren. And he was also overpowered with joy, and thus they all three had sunk to the earth. Now when the servants of the king had seen that they had fallen, they also began to cry unto God, for the fear of the Lord had come upon them also. And it was they who had stood before the king and testified unto him concerning the great power of Ammon. I want this for myself. I want this for each and every one of you. That this great change that happens within us changes the very nature of who we are. That we have this love for one another and for our God first and foremost. Nothing else matters. I want to go to 1 John, 4th chapter. Seventeenth through the 21st verse. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. And so this is how we're supposed to be. You know, it's a love that we don't understand because we're prejudiced. Well, that person's not fit for the kingdom. You know, we make those judgments all day long. Because I don't think we understand the love that God has for us. Do we have that among us? I sometimes wonder. You have to want this change to happen to you. I don't think I'm pointing the finger at anyone else. I'm pointing the finger at myself. I'm looking in my own life. You know, summertime's coming. And I work a lot of hours. A slave. You know, and I want you to think about this. Ammon went from royalty, a king's son, to a slave. Now, how much of a transition do you think we would do there? I mean, it's worth thinking. To a slave. But he knew who was in control of everything. He knew that there was a purpose for his life because that change had happened in his life. That he believed that there was a God and that he had power over everything. You know, those jobs can be taken from us. Our loved ones. You know, these people, it changed their lives in so many ways that there is a scripture in here that they didn't care about death, didn't have anything to didn't keep them in bondage. It didn't matter to them. They would suffer in the most aggravating way because they had this change within them. An incredible understanding of who God was. Such a testimony and a belief system. And God had made him a mighty instrument in his hands. You know, we're a selfish people in many ways, always in a hurry to go nowhere. Jealous of our time and not really considerate of others. You know, these are traits that I have in myself, which I try not to cultivate them. And I know that these changes I have to make in my own life. Maybe there's a great change that you need to make in your life. If there's no struggles, we don't change. God is blessing me, so I must be doing everything okay. I have a good job. You know, everything's going along good. They can all be taken from you. And it's always for a reason. You question when something happens in your life. You look and you say, well, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? What is it that you're trying to nudge me around that corner, to make me look at something a little bit different? Let's go back to Messiah, the second chapter. And I want to read those things again. Believe in God. Believe that He is and that He created all things, both in heaven and earth. Believe that He has all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them and humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that He would forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, see that you do them. God knows why we do those things that we do. And that in many ways, those things, it's like putting your hand on a hot stove. Ow! Don't do that. That change has to take place in our hearts. Otherwise, we are of little use to our God. I want you to go to Alma, and this is going to be the last scripture. I want you to go to Alma, third chapter. I thought I wrote that down. There it is. 21st verse, and you've heard this. These are some of my favorite scriptures. Behold, I tell you, did not my father Alma believe in the words which were delivered by the mouth of Abinadi? That's 21st verse. Did he not speak the words of God, and my father Alma believed them? Did he not speak the word, and according to his faith, there was a mighty change wrought in his heart. A mighty change wrought in his heart. Behold, I say unto you that this is all true. And behold, he preached the word unto your fathers, and a mighty change was also wrought in their hearts. And they humbled themselves and put their trust in the true and living God. And behold, they were faithful unto the end. Therefore, they were saved. And now, behold, I ask of you, my brethren, of the church, have ye spiritually been born of God? I want you to think about that. This mighty change is that spiritual change within us. Have you received his image of his countenance? Who is this? This is that we're supposed to be like him. Have you experienced this mighty change in your hearts? Do you exercise faith in the redemption of him who created you? Do you look forward with an eye of faith and view this mortal body raised in immortality and this corruption raised in incorruption to stand before God to be judged according to the deeds which have been done in the mortal body? I say unto you, can you imagine to yourselves that ye hear the voice of the Lord saying unto you, in that day come unto me, ye blessed, for behold, your works have been the works of righteousness upon the face of the earth. Or do you imagine to yourselves that ye can lie unto the Lord in that day and say, Lord, our works have been righteous works upon the face of the earth, and that we will be, and that he will save you? I want you to think about that. This change that has to happen in our lives, it has to change the very nature of who this is. Because when I stand before my Lord, I want to be able to say, I did the best that I could. Didn't say that I was without sin. Said in Ecclesiastes, it says, not a just man walketh the earth that does not sinneth. It's not an excuse. It's not an excuse. But this gospel has to change who you are. This, our Lord and Savior, is who changes each and every one of us by those trials that he puts us through. And it is very important to understand that. I thank you very much for your time. And I love you all very much. Appreciate it.